Good Friday. As we told you, Good Friday, you can't get to Easter Sunday without going through Good Friday. The song we used to sing long, not so many years ago, but it simply said, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to do what? Wash my sins away." Your sins are not a problem to God. They're a problem to you.
That's true.
Your failures, your worries, your thoughts, your actions that doesn't speak about God, that condemns you, is something that God deals with better than we do. Because God has the power, and he's the only one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has the power to forgive sins. What do? We try to bury them. Do you ever have a habit you thought was gone? You have something in your life? Well, this New Year's, I'm giving this up. Yeah, for about 10 minutes. But when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, because it was his purpose to reconcile us with the Father. And what did he have to do? He had to be beaten. He had to be spit upon. He had to be whipped. He had to be nailed to a cross. He had to shed all his blood so that we could get from Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday. And why did he do that? He did that for you and me. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There was no other way. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, God had given them dominion over everything. How many of you understand that? What does dominion mean? It means you're in charge. Adam and Eve were in charge of the Garden of Eden. But when that serpent came in, and the first sin that Satan tried to throw at them was not eat of the fruit. The first sin that Satan throwed them at was denying the word of God. Hath God really said? Did God really tell you that? What kind of God would tell you that? And so, when Adam and Eve made the choice, they gave their dominion to the devil because he was now in charge of their lives. And so, years and years and years later, Isaiah writes, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray." How many have sinned to come short of the glory of God?
All.
Can't hear you.
All.
You're doing better.
All.
Okay. All have sinned. So I have no right pointing my finger at Brian and saying, "I can't believe he forgave you." Well, did he really? You know, I have no right to do that. Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's only one antidote for sin. And that was the blood of Jesus. I read a while back, and I'm trying to recall it. You know, you hide Easter eggs, and you don't remember where you hide them, but I'm trying to recall something that happened 50 years ago or 40 years ago. I read the story where in India, they had an outbreak of cobra bites that killed multitudes of people. Many died. They didn't know what to do. And so you horse lovers, they found in horses' blood a serum that would cure the bite of the cobra. And that saved, multiplied thousands of lives. Well, God found a serum in the blood of Jesus Christ that broke the power of sin, that brought forgiveness, that allowed us to become to a place where we can honestly look at our lives and say, I'm no longer a sinner. And I tried to convince people, and I get some arguments. So I know it might be a little bit on some addicts. You are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You're a saint who sometimes sins.
That's right.
If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't practice sinning, right? Can you say amen?
Amen.
We don't practice sinning. So Paul wrote his letters to the saints who are at Ephesus, at Philippi, at Colossae, and down the line to the saints. How have they become saints? Because some church instituted that? No. Because the blood of Jesus changed their lives.
That's right.
The blood of Jesus directed them. The blood of Jesus took control. The blood of Jesus broke the power of Satan. And so Jesus died to pay the price for sins. He died to reconcile us to the Father. But you won't find him in the grave.
That's right.
You won't find his bones there. And remember one more thing. I believe, and you can check this out, I believe Christianity is the only relationship with God where God died for his people. I want you to think about that. You go through all kinds of other religions and you'll find out that people die for the God.
That's right.
You appease God. You shed your blood. You appease God. You throw your baby in the river. You do all kinds of things to appease God. The Father was appeased. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that it pleased the Father to bruise him and make his soul a suffering for sin. Why did it please the Father? Because his intent when he created Adam was to build relationship and to walk in the garden with Adam. That worked for a little while. But now his purpose is to change our lives, break the bondage of sin, and live within us. Two amens. If I could remember what I said, I'd preach it again. But now his intent is to live within us.
Right.
You don't have to go searching for God.
That's right.
How many understand that?
Yeah. Yeah.
How can there be a closed heaven when God is within you?
That's correct.
How can your prayers bounce off a ceiling when there's no ceiling to go through because God is here?
That's right.
How can there be a ceiling when the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God? We are touched. We are free. We are made in the image of Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit indwells us, empowers us, takes our life, and changes us, and it's called salvation.
Amen.
True. So often we think salvation is down the road someplace, or salvation is when I get to heaven. And sanctification is progressive. I'll give you that. There's a progressive growth. There's a process, okay? That's why we don't look at younger Christians and say, well, why aren't you living like me? And so we come to a place where the church looks at things so much differently than God does. I want you to understand something. This body needs to love one another as God loves us.
Amen.
We need to encourage one another as God wants us. We need to do together the ministry that God wants.
That's right.
It's not about earning points.
That's right.
It's about pleasing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we come to a place that we come to the resurrection. Salvation is not complete without having access to the Father. Jesus could have died and that would have been fine. We would have been reconciled to the Father, but we'd had no way to get there. And so Jesus rose from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave to be the mediator between God and man. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy that there's only 2 Timothy, there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So what happened, Jesus died, walked on earth for 50 days, showed himself publicly to 511 people, ascended to heaven after the Holy Spirit, just before the Holy Spirit was poured out. How many have ever been in court? How many wish you would have had 511 witnesses? I don't know, you'd have to be the worst lawyer in the world to lose a case if you had 511 witnesses testifying on your side. In fact, the judge would say after 30, I don't need to hear any more of that. I believe you. So Jesus had 511 witnesses that saw him arise, saw him after he had risen from the grave. He walked among them. Now, how many of you would consider dying for a God that was dead? Ten of the 11 living disciples at that time laid down their life for a living Jesus, not a dead one. There's all kinds of people that, oh man, they just came and stole his body away. Sure, okay. John tells us that when they came to embalm his body, they came with 100 pounds of spices. Say 100 with me.
100.
If Jesus weighed 200 pounds plus 100, now don't let me test you too much, how much would that weigh? I worked at a funeral home. I've moved bodies before, okay? And so you have someone in a cave that's 300 pounds, and you're going to get him out in front of, in with all these guards around. Come on. Doesn't make sense, does it? And so Jesus, at the resurrection, understand this now, they found a handkerchief that was around his head and it was folded. I want you to think, who is going to steal a body and take time to fold the handkerchief? Read John. We okay, Curtis? They folded the handkerchief, laid it aside, and then left. Come on. That's like saying, I'm going to fold this handkerchief and wait till you get caught. I personally believe, and this is my opinion, that Jesus folded that handkerchief.
Amen.
And keep in mind, they didn't roll away the stone to let him out. They rolled away the stone to let people see in. And so all this came so that you and I could be saved, delivered. So I told you earlier, I was sitting here last night and had a message. I had 2 sheets. I can get them out of the garbage. If you want to look at them, you'd never be able to read them. But and the Lord just started thinking, started speaking to my heart, Holy Spirit, just like he speaks to you. I didn't hear an audible voice. I just felt a sensation. It's like, do something different. Okay, God, why don't you come and preach? And so I got kids at home. They want root beer floats and ice cream. So, okay, God, let's get this together. So I started looking through some books, got my Greek lexicon, still Greek to me. I just want to share with you the benefits of salvation. Because if you're here and you're having some issues, God is bigger than your issues.
Amen.
If you're here looking at yourself and say, I don't fit in. Well, first of all, who told you that? Number two, it's a lie.
That's right.
You're sitting there and you're looking at yourself and saying, I'm too bad of a sinner. We get all kinds of weird thoughts and we listen to the wrong voice.
Amen.
And we need to come to a place in our daily walk where we know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the devil or our own voice.
That's right.
God doesn't speak fear into your life. He speaks peace.
Amen.
God speaks joy and peace and righteousness and acceptance. The devil wants to scatter you. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Break it.
Amen.
Don't listen to him. You know, somebody said, well, the devil's knocking on my door. Don't open it.
That's right. Amen.
Unhook the doorbell. Get one of these things I saw on TV a while back where you can tell who's ringing your doorbell. All you say is, I'm bathing the kids. Don't have time for that. But believers, for some reason, hear the wrong voice. And that voice comes to destroy everything about you that has anything to do with God. You know, I remember when I was drinking. I started drinking at 16. And know some of the things that was said? Well, God doesn't love you anymore anyway. You kind of blew that. You'll never change. Anybody ever hear that? You'll never change. You'll never amount to anything. That's not God. So when I was 19, I walked an aisle of a church in Fort Francis, Ontario, Crossmere National Falls, where we lived. Rededicated my life to Christ, and in 3 minutes to 5 minutes, I was absolutely set free. My language changed, my habits changed, my conduct changed. Everything changed. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have had that happen in your life? It's just amazing. So going back and Lord Jesus Christ, the word Lord means master. Jesus means Savior. Christ means the anointed one or the Messiah. So he's the master, he's the Savior, he's the Messiah. What can't he do?
That's right.
It's no work for him to forgive your sins and give you hope and establish your feet on a path going toward him because he's the one that made it.
That's right.
And he's the one that made you.
That's right.
Where do you think the dust came from? You see what we're talking about? How many know you were made out of dust? I've done a couple of funerals, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Hello? And so, I got to put my glasses on so I can read my writing. Salvation. You must accept the resurrection to be saved, okay?
That's right.
If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, belief is made unto righteousness. Must believe what? That he rose from the dead. I left that out. So, the resurrection is an imperative part of salvation. So the word salvation means to rescue. Interesting. How many of us needed to be rescued? If you're here without Christ, you still need to be rescued. Okay? It means to deliver, to make whole, to preserve from danger. To preserve from danger, the Bible says that He is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before His throne with great glory. He's able to keep us from stumbling. That means going back. If you're walking with the Lord, you don't have to worry about backsliding, okay? It means to heal or deliver from demonic powers, to defeat in battle. How many of you ever feel like you're in a battle? Who are you in a battle with? Sometimes ourselves. But sometimes the devil. It means too that God defeats the enemy in your behalf.
That's right.
Don't be your own enemy. To bring freedom from sin and bondage. He's giving us righteousness, joy, and peace, and prosperity, and happiness. And salvation attaches us or places us in the body of Christ. Okay, look at me. We all need a relationship with Jesus Christ. We all need to come to a place where we acknowledge Jesus as Lord. There are times we just got to quit struggling. I'm going to tell you something, and I tell people this all the time. You've never been loved by any human being as much as God loves you.
That's right.
If you're thinking, will He accept me? The Bible says, whoever comes to Him, He'll no wise cast out. Do you think about, what about the guilt? What about the condemnation? What about all this stuff I go through? There is, the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation, no guilt to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. So we look at ourselves and say, well, you know, I had people call and say, can I bring so-and-so to church? They don't feel like they're good enough. If you don't feel good enough, that's a good place to start, because God knows that you're good enough. He sent His Son for those who weren't good enough. His Son died for those who weren't good enough. His Son died for those who couldn't make it on their own. His Son died for failures. So we can look at this and we can look at this and we can argue it back and forth and we can debate it. I wrote on Facebook the other day, that there's only two choices in this world that absolutely mean life or death. And those choices are, will I serve Jesus or will I serve the devil? If we are not serving Jesus, we're in the other camp. And we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we come to a place about choices. Do I believe that Jesus died for me? It's kind of historical. Do I believe that He rose again? People, since His resurrection, have been dying for Him. If He was dead, they wouldn't die for Him because there would be no reason to. Do I really want to spend my life living on the edge of nothing? Every one of you, God has a plan for. Whether you allow that plan to be fulfilled is your choice. God has designed with purpose your life. And you may look at life now and say, but man, I'm 60 years old. You're still breathing. There's hope. They're still breathing. You're still on the right side of the sod. As long as there's hope, let's not waste a day. Let's just come to a place. As believers, we're going to pursue God and develop that relationship that is so beautiful and wonderful. If there are none believers here, by that I simply mean you may believe in God, but so does the devil. There's a step we need to take, and that's simply to ask Jesus Christ into our lives and see the change that only God can make.